Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, moviegoers of America, welcome to Paul Mac Presents for another week of film-listed fun.
I'm really outraged at the price of popcorn. I went to the UA in Westwood. It's UA in North Hollywood, and it's like $1.50 for a Coke, and $3 for popcorn, and, you know, $2.50 for like juicy fruits and stuff. So, you know, that's ridiculous. So I just went to the movie myself, and I found that I can have just as much enjoyment, because it's not really what you eat, but it's just the act of sitting there. You're kind of half bored, half naughty, watching a movie, and you want to stick something in your mouth, like a piece of popcorn or something. You can sit there and you can pick your nose and eat it. And I get the same enjoyment out of doing that as I would, you know, with a big thing of popcorn. And now you say, okay, that's fine, but usually you don't have enough boogers to last you through a whole movie. Well, what you do is before you go into the theater, you kind of go and blow it all into your nose, and you, like, cultivate some. You know, it takes about 15, 20 minutes for them to get, you know, ripe and chewy, but you just, you know, and that's all you need to do, and you'll save a lot of money, and I'd like to thank you very much for your time.
From a place where spanning the globe comes naturally, you're on the movie line at 761-3330 and 906-3000. And now here's the host and star of our show, Mr. Bob Hope!
Bangkok, Oriental setting in the city, don't know what the city is getting. The creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Time flies, doesn't seem a minute since the Tyrolean Spa had the chess bars in it. All change, don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue. It's Iceland, or the Philippines, or Hastings.
Welcome to the movie line for the week of May 12th through the 16th, 1985. Gee, it's good to be back. Well, on May 10th, we had a few new films opening up at theaters everywhere, including Code of Silence, an action-adventure film starring Chuck Norris, which presents interesting characters, a good story, lots of suspense, and great stunts. So for great action and adventure, I highly recommend this film, Code of Silence, rated R. Rappin', another attempt at cashing in on the street sensation that's sweeping the nation, breakdancing. Filmed in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, production started on February 20th, 1985, and wrapped principal photography on March 28th. So if that gives you any clue as to the production values of this film, use it in good faith. Rated PG. Finally, Savage Streets, a new film starring Linda Blair, who seeks revenge as well as lives on a bunch of gang members who raped and then murdered her sister. Rated R. Be looking for the reopening of two brand new state-of-the-art theaters in Sherman Oaks on May 22nd. Call in for details on next week's tape. Coming up this week, a look at new video releases for May 1985, a long-winded hysterical comment by John OCC, and finally, on Believer's Choice, David Kyle reviews The Purple Rose of Cairo. All this and more on The Movie Line. I can feel the devil walking next
to me. Hi, callers. Dave Nover City here, and I just wanted to say that comment on the Believer's Choice that I heard on the last tape. That really, I could believe it. I could really believe of what he was saying about the Star Wars series. I mean, enough has been revealed in rock music of Satanism or occultic symbols or what's the word I'm looking under? Well, innuendos of those of what I just mentioned, of Satanism and or occultic things. I'll tell you something. Anybody who has the nerve to mention something so dark, and I'm talking about dark things, those of you who are not aware of it. This is unbelievable. I don't remember who it was. I think David Kyle mentioned something about where the lasers were crossing together, and when Darth Vader's laser struck, and he won something. Why it looked like the lasers were simulating the upside down cross, which is known as the Aunt Cross. Which is the cross of Satan. That really is a surprise, and I didn't think that George Lucas, that anybody would be that sick enough to put symbols in movies. But yep, I'm afraid that it has gotten that way. It is a surprise, and I wonder if anybody has done that recently in the Disney movies, because if they have, boy, that just tells me one thing. The movie industry has gone downhill, letting this satanic garbage go in. I happen to be a Christian, for those of you who have not gathered, but I'm really against a lot of these bad things, and I really think that these bad movies that are on the market, I've said this before, are a bad influence, and those of you who are Christian and who don't know about Star Wars, do not go see it, and do not go see movies like Friday the 13th. Things like that are just horrible influences. They have got to stop. That's all I'm going to say right now. I'm going to take off, and we'll talk to you all later on.
Thank you, David, for your comments. This is David Kyle, and I just want to correct one thing you said. I didn't mention about the sabers creating an upside-down cross. Perhaps you read that somewhere else. I personally don't believe that George Lucas intentionally puts occultic images into his movie. I think because of his Buddhist beliefs, and therefore because his mind is following Satan in that sense, that he will unconsciously put in philosophies and symbols that are anti-Christian. But I don't think it's a conscious effort on his part. I think he's probably a really wonderful human being. His problem is he's tied his mind to an anti-Christian philosophy, and consequently, things that are anti-Christian come out of him naturally. I'm sure he doesn't mean for it to be. But in any case, it's certainly important, as you said, for Christians not to expose themselves to a steady diet of occultic type movies and records and music and so forth, because it's that constant diet that is dangerous, because there's a subconscious programming of the mind that goes on. Whatever you feed your mind, just like your body, if you feed your body something that will put weight on, pretty soon you'll put weight on. And if you feed your mind cultic images and symbols, pretty soon, subconsciously, you'll begin to accept and believe some of these things. So I just wish that Christians would become wary of a steady diet of that sort of thing.
Paul, I'd love to put a gag in your mouth. That has got to be the longest-winded input disclaimer I have ever heard in my entire life. Let me tell you, that has got to be the longest-winded input disclaimer I have ever heard in my life. I mean, you think that I go on and on and on and ramble and I leave long-winded input, my God, and you think that I am bad by rambling on and on and on and on and on and on and over again and wasting your tape and just going on and on and on, going in circles, not making any sense at all, looping everything I say. Anyway, yeah, I have a... Well, Paul, I was just going to share something with your, 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 with your... Well, Paul, I was just going to share something with your, 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 with your callers here. I'm sure they know, and I'm sure you know how you always love to say...
You smuck puddums.
Wasn't that funny? Well, Paul, I'd like to put a gag in your mouth. Shit! Let me get to right to the point. I got a joke for you. Well, not for you, but it's for your callers. I don't got nothing for you, dude, except a gag for your mouth. Let me get to right to the point. I got a joke for you. You want to take this again? Listen, folks, forget it, okay? Listen, folks, I'll tell you something. I got a joke for you. I'm going in circles! Somebody help me! Okay, anyway, let's get... Hello? Who's this? You want to take this again? You want to take this again? Forget it, okay? Listen, folks,
answer me, motherfucker!
Hello? Who's this? Anyway, let's get right to the point here. I'm sure you've heard Paul Mack always say,
"You smuck puddums."
Right? What do you get when you cross Bill Cosby with Paul Mack? You give up, you get up.
Smuck pudding.
All right, that's it. No more. I've had it with this place. I'm going home to mother.
Wasn't that funny? Anyway, Paul, a plug for a plug. You can call my line, the Orange County Connection. Or if that's busy, well, why not give us a call at the Orange County Connection? And if that's busy, well, you're just out of luck. Thanks, Paul. Have a good one. And cello. Bye.
Oh, John, you stole an idea.
Good evening, Central Intelligence Agency. May I help you?
I have a roll of film that somebody was shot for. Now, what should I do?
I'm sorry, sir. We cannot give out that information.
Gotcha! He's a young college student on vacation in Paris.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Jerk.
Does that mean no?
She's his first real affair.
I like virgins.
You do?
A beautiful, mysterious woman in an even more mysterious line of work.
What, are you a spy?
Yes, I am a spy.
He started out trying to score.
Get lost, you creep.
And ended up being the target.
These Russians, they were chasing me. They're trying to kill me.
Far out.
Don't move!
Gotcha! Got you where I want you. Too late.
Universal Pictures presents Gotcha.
Gotcha!
His first time may be his last.
I kill him!
Gotcha!
Gotcha. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now at select theaters. Check newspapers for locations and showtimes.
Gotcha is now playing at these fine theaters. In Hollywood at Pacific Cinerama Dome. Number for information in the 213 area code, 466-3401. In La Habra at the AMC Fashion Square Cinema. Number for information in the 714 area code, 691-0633. In North Hollywood at the UA Movie 6. Area code 818-766-4317. And in Sherman Oaks at Pacifics 4 at 818-990-4140.
From everybody over here at California Comments, we'd like to congratulate you on your 100th tape. We just got our 50th done over here with Mr. Fun, but hey, that's great. At any rate, Paul, it's been good knowing you as a friend, and keep up the good work over at the movie line. Okay? This is Richie Calcom over here at Calcom 407-1111. Bye.
Well, I thank you, Rich, for that gracious thanks and pointing out that this is my 100th tape. However, we're not really trying to plug it over here as our 100th tape. We just would like it to be another tape here in the life of the movie line. No big deal, right? Now, if this was my 75th tape or my 50th tape or my 25th tape, we would have been having a one heck of a celebration right now. As you know, if you've been following the movie line, we bring out the phone stars. But this time, no. Our 100th
tape.
We just wanted to be another tape with mistakes and everything, but no, I'll tell you. What we're going to do is celebrate our 101st tape. That's right. I don't know what we're going to do yet, but stay with us because next week we've got a very big special show for you. Not the 100th tape. No, just a regular movie line tape. The 101st tape. So give us a call next week and you'll find out what we're doing. I still don't know as of this moment what I'm going to do. Anyway, we've got a new feature here on the movie line. It's video releases. And since the video market has been so increasingly popular, we're basically going to let you know about some of the new releases that are coming out in the video markets. And if you'd like to leave a film review on a new video title, well, you're more than welcome at 761-0333. There's two that are brand new that are in release that we're going to give you a preview of here, and one is already in release and has been for a while. The first one, Robin Hood, has been out from Walt Disney Productions. The first to be released under the Classics title is a very excellent film. I highly recommend it. The second, Dune, the most expensive motion picture ever made, was directed by Mr. David Lynch, and he was the director of such films as Eraserhead and The Elephant Man. Dune was his third motion picture. Failed at the box office, however. Then the third release is Body Double, directed by Mr. Brian De Palma. And it was quite an interesting film. Tried to do a takeoff on Hitchcock-type movies. And in my opinion, had too much pornography and things like that. But we're going to give you previews of those three films right now. Robin Hood, already in release, I highly recommend. Dune, to be released this month, and Body Double. Let's listen.
There's something funny going on around here.
Fun is on the upswing with the rollicking return of Robin Hood and the merriest menagerie ever with the unforgettable voice talents of Peter Ustinov.
Mother always did like Richard best.
Terry Thomas.
Snakes don't walk, they slither.
Phil Harris.
And don't stick your tongue out at me, kid.
Pat Buttram.
Greetings from your friendly neighborhood tax collector.
Roger Miller.
And my job is to tell it like it is.
Brian Bedford.
Someday there'll be happiness again in Nottingham.
Andy Devine.
Long live Robin Hood!
It's high adventure and high times. A battle for right. A quest for love.
Marion, my love, will you marry me?
Robin Hood. Legendary animation from Walt Disney Productions. Rated G. All audiences admitted.
You are about to enter a world where the skies are filled with fire. A world that holds creation's greatest treasure.
He who controls the spice controls the universe.
And greatest terror. Where the mighty will have their greatest battle.
Long live the fighters!
A world called Doom. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. He thought he was watching her, but she was watching him. He thought he was trespassing, but he was invited. He knew he had gone too far, and he couldn't stop. He saw exactly what she wanted him to see. What he saw was murder. Brian De Palma, the modern master of suspense, invites you to witness a seduction, a mystery, a murder. Body Double, you can't believe everything you see. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Welcome to Believer's Choice, a Christian perspective on the movies. I'm Davy Crockett. Well, David Kyle. Only once or twice in a decade does a truly wonderful and brilliant film make its way to area theaters. Without a moment of hesitation, I predict that Woody Allen will be nominated for Oscar's Best Director a year hence for his tremendous achievement in bringing The Purple Rose of Cairo to the screen. Not even the fact that movies which are released early in the year rarely are remembered at Oscar time will keep this brilliant film from claiming its rightful place as one of the best films of all time. Now, that may seem a bit overstated, but if Citizen Kane, which I've never understood, can be so regarded due to its inventive brilliance, so can this gem by Woody Allen. In my humble but subjective estimation, director Woody Allen has flirted with the realms of perfection in this his latest attempt to blend comedy and meaningful statement. The Purple Rose of Cairo is a romantic comedy fantasy set in a small town during the Depression. It tells the story of a young housewife who spends her spare time escaping the reality of her unhappy existence at the local movie theater. She dreams that she is part of the romance and glamour that passes in front of her on the screen. Somehow it helps her cope with the fact that her husband is a no-good mooch who shoots dice all day and cavorts with other women at night. There is a tragically sad scene where she comes home one night to find her drunk husband chasing another woman around the apartment. What's worse is that he mocks her feelings of hurt by calling her his ball and chain and by telling her that he can't help chasing other women. The movie theater provides her a place to go to forget her dreadful circumstances and to pretend that someday someone will come along who will love her and appreciate her and who will fill her life with happiness. Ah, if someone had only told her about Jesus. The Depression-era setting is perfect for this film because it was a time when people who were in very poor circumstances would flock to the theaters to forget their own poverty and to dream of being glamorous and in love. People still go to the movies to watch others play out their fantasies of wealth and love on the screen. By pretending in that way, we vicariously take part in the joy of having the things we don't possess in real life. Is that healthy? I don't know. Whether such fantasy helps us to cope with our circumstances and motivates us to improve, or whether it satisfies enough of our need to lessen our resolve to improve our condition, is something for theologians and psychologists to ponder. Mia Farrow plays the young woman Cecilia so perfectly that I didn't even recognize her as Mia Farrow. She was born for this part and deserves an Oscar nomination. One day, after Cecilia watches a particular film for the fourth or fifth time, one of the characters on the screen turns and starts talking to her. More than an hallucination, he actually walks out of the screen and comes down off the stage to talk to her, throwing the moviegoers and other characters on the screen into absolute shock and confusion. Here, Woody Allen is fulfilling a personal childhood fantasy of mine, and therein may lie some of the passion for this movie. Word gets back to the studios and the press that the character Tom Baxter has come down off the screen and is running around New Jersey. As you'd expect from a Hollywood character, he tries to sweep our heroine off her feet by wining and dining her, only to discover too late that the money he is carrying is fake movie money. Undaunted, he tells her that they will simply live on love. There are many other hysterical moments in the film where his screen world expectations come up against the real world, but I won't spoil them for you. Meanwhile, the real actor, who originally portrayed the rebel screen character, comes to town to try and talk his character into going back into the movie, lest he do something rash and ruin the actor's career. Jeff Daniels does an excellent job playing both parts. Cecilia, our housewife, who has been starving for love her entire life, melts your heart when she tries to describe to someone what has been happening by saying, "I just met a wonderful man. He's fictional, but you can't have everything." Finally, Cecilia and Tom re-enter the movie together so they can use Tom's movie money to hit the town. During this sequence, we are again treated to another volley of brilliantly humorous situations. Woody Allen, like Bill Cosby, is famous for his ability to show the humor of ordinary life. Here, he goes beyond himself by doing the same thing amidst an absurdly topsy-turvy world where fantasy and reality collide. He falls short of perfection in two areas, however. First, why did Cecilia have to be married? It would have been just as funny if she had been single, and he would have prevented himself from depicting wife stealing as a positive thing. The fact that her husband was an adulterer mitigates the problem somewhat, but it could just as easily have been avoided altogether. Second, there were approximately 7 times when profanity or blasphemy were employed, and once again, no reason for it. It's almost as if leaving foul language out of a film is as unthinkable to movie makers today as leaving the milk off their cereal. They can't even imagine it any other way. It is frustrating and depressing because that is one problem that I can't escape by going to the movies.
There'll be pennies from heaven for you.
Morning, class.
Morning, Miss Zienerbacher.
Today we'll discuss the movie Just One of the Guys using all the contemporary terminology I've taught you here in
sex education.
Yes, that. Now, Just One of the Guys is about a normal teenage girl with big, beautiful
bumpies.
Yes, those. And a nice round
tushy.
Yes, that. Who masquerades as a guy to prove she's also got brains. First, she stuffs socks in her pants for a
thingy.
But then she's got to go to the boys'
tidy room.
And in gym class, a surprise
thingy holder inspection.
And a boyfriend who wants to me.
Make nice.
Arnold, what have we learned?
Just One of the Guys is about a girl with bumpies, tushy, fake thingy, a toity room, surprise thingy inspection, and making nice. Now can I go to the men's room?
Oh, Arnold.
Just One of the Guys, rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hi there, folks. It's me, Mr. Announcer. Yes, Mr. Mac has taken off again, so I have to read all the numbers and addresses and such that you need for this poor line. Hate mail goes to P.O. Box 2600, Mount Wilson, California, 91023. And if you'd like to leave any crass messages or maybe some input on some really fun films, you can call 761-0333. When dialing from the West Valley, you poor suckers, 906-3000. Remember to call the Continuing Adventures of the Gopher Twins every Friday and Saturday. I know I can't say continuing. Big deal. Just dial 761-3330 for another laugh-filled episode. My name is Jim Clothesline. I know, I'm not the greatest thing in the world. But hey, I need some help now, okay, boys and girls? Mr. Mac, who just cannot afford a decent meal anywhere, has this Model T playback machine, and I need some help winding this thing up again. So on the count of three, I want you all to help. Ready? 1, 2, 3.